with one another, so that's always a good noise, a good thing to hear. All right, this morning we are blessed to have Greg Hershberger share with us this morning. Pastor Ron and Molly are away for the weekend, and Ron had asked Greg to share. And I'm not sure if everyone knows Greg or knows, I'm sure you recognize his face. He and Lois are here most Sundays with us. Just a little bit of background. Greg has been a teacher as a career. He's been a pastor. He's involved in sales. But Greg's told me that his greatest passion is just being available to be used by God, to do what God is calling him to do. He's got a passion to communicate the truth of God in a clear way and a simple way so that people can understand truth and respond to it. So we were blessed, Greg, to have you share with us this morning. Looking forward to what God is going to speak through us or through you and speak to us. So let's just pray before we begin. God, I thank you for Greg. I thank you for his heart in communicating truth. And God, his passion to see people raised up and to do what they are called to do, what you are calling them to do. And God, I pray that you would release now clarity in his words, in his spirit, in his heart, just in these next moments that we have together. God, I pray that you would speak truth through him and release him, God, to be your servant. So God, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak into each of our hearts the areas that you need to apply those truths in this morning. We just thank you, God, for this opportunity to hear your word, to be encouraged, and to be challenged by your word. And so bless Greg as he shares. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. There's about 10% of you here, but anyway, we don't have a quorum yet. I'll work on that. This morning I'd like to talk about winning the battle for your mind. What do we have here? I know, for some of you it's the wrong helmet, but anyway, let's pretend we're all Eagles fans. But anyway, they have a game tonight, all right? Why do people wear these things? Oh, protection, yeah. I see some people... So if you're playing the game of football, this is what it is, football helmet, and you don't wear this, you're in trouble, big trouble. In fact, they have NFL has a new law, or is it college? I get that mixed up. When your helmet comes off, you got to go out for a play. You know, that's something new because of concussions and everything else. So this fits on, the regular size one would fit on your head, and it's a protection. It's a physical protection, but also, isn't it interesting that one of the armors that we need to put on is the helmet of salvation? It talks about that in Ephesians 6, the helmet of salvation. So that's a spiritual protection. So throughout life, as we're going through life, we can have the helmet on when we're playing football or a helmet on when we're biking or a helmet on when we're playing baseball and we're trying to hit the ball for protection. But we need the helmet of salvation for spiritual protection because salvation is all based on Jesus and we need Jesus in our life. And so we put on Jesus as our protection. Does that make sense? We need Jesus to protect us, to guard us spiritually. Because there's all kinds. If you don't have enough battles, I'll give you some of mine. We all have battles. And when we put on the helmet of salvation, we put on Jesus who has won our battles. He's a winner. Jesus is a winner. Say that with me. Jesus is a winner. Jesus is on my team. Say that with me. Jesus is on my team. So therefore, I'm a winner. Therefore, I'm a winner. All right. So we got the helmet. I'm just going to put that up here so you can just look at it a little bit. Just be reminded about how we need this. Our mind is very important. We think, we process, we respond to life. Isn't it interesting that I cut out, my wife looked at the paper on Saturday, she said, we have a problem here. I cut out something out of the paper, she didn't read it yet. But anyway, this is Saturday, October 11th, okay? Quarterback Foles still the man for the Eagles. That's a highlight. Now, I didn't cut it out because of that. I cut it out because of the last paragraph. Listen, he was interviewed, and this is what the quarterback for the Eagles said. I'm quoting him. Nick Foles said this, "I focus on what's inside this building, what's in that locker room. Anything else, I can't listen to it. It's not personal against you all, but I can't let clutter get in my head," he said. "If you let a bunch of clutter get in your head, how are you supposed to go out and play effectively?" Wow. He didn't know what's going on this morning, but I think we all need that because we get a lot of clutter in life. And how can we live life victoriously with clutter? That's basically what he's saying. Let's add the spiritual aspect. We need to get rid of clutter so that we can live a God-filled, full, abundant life. That'd probably be a good time for an amen. But anyway, so we see that in life, as we look at everything going on, our head is very important. Our mind is important. And the caution I have for you, if we allow clutter in our mind, we've got to get rid of it before it gets to our heart. Because when it gets to our heart, then it becomes, like the Bible says, get rid of the root of bitterness. It becomes like a cancer. And it's harder to get rid of. We can get rid of it as long as we proclaim that Jesus has given us authority. He has, but we need to proclaim that. I didn't say this is going to be an easy message, but it's going to hit all of us between the eyes because we're all affected by battles. We all have battles. One of the largest battles that most people who just get married face is finances. We usually have a spender and a saver. If you have two spenders, you're in trouble. But anyway, finances. We all have these battles that we have to face and work through. And we need God's help every day. Desperately, we need his help. We need to put on Jesus, who is our salvation, to protect us and remind us of who Jesus is in our life. So we all have battles that are affecting each of us and how we function in life. And actually, before, for those who have received Jesus as your Savior, before that took place, we had no one to help us, and we gave in to the world's way of dealing with our wrong thoughts. And we've functioned independently from God and his truth. But after we received Jesus as our Savior, we had to tear down strongholds. Those are negative patterns of thinking which have been burned into our minds over time or a one-time traumatic experience. You see, the enemy, Satan, knows just which buttons to push to tempt us away from our dependency on Jesus. In fact, just over the last 20 years, think about it with me. When people pray, it's rarely that they pray and use the name Jesus. Because when we pray and use the name Jesus, listen carefully, people. When we pray and use the name Jesus, that's a name above all names. That's a name that breaks down barriers and walls. The name Jesus. We can use God. We can use Lord. The enemy knows that. But we need to use the name of Jesus. That's our authority. Our authority is in Christ. That's who we are. That's why they call us believers or Christians, followers of Jesus, followers of Christ. Satan has observed your behavior over the years, and he knows where you are vulnerable, and that's where he will attack. So we need freedom. When I talk about freedom, there's a number of areas that come to my mind, and you can actually fill in the blanks. There's selfish. Oh, here we go again. Yeah, just get rid of that thing. Welcome to computers. I'll read it. We need to get rid of rejection. We need to get rid of selfish ambition, unforgiveness, failure, pride, criticism, fear, public opinion, peer pressure, carelessness. Those are all giants, but you can add to your list of giants. We need to get rid of those. Those are just some, and we need to face them. That's baggage that we're carrying with us, and baggage gets heavy at times. In fact, my wife and I just flew a while back out to the state of Oregon, where she's from, and you're only allowed 50 pounds, right? We were right at the limit. In fact, I think I might have been over, and that lady had a lot of grace. She says, all right, go on. Baggage. We have a lot of baggage that we carry with us, and Jesus wants to free us of our baggage. When Pastor Ron asked me to preach, he said, would you bring a message on freedom? And remember, he's been preaching on shame. Well, that ties right in with freedom. All that baggage. When I used to play basketball, some people wore these weights on your shoes, and then you take them off, you feel like you can leap, you know, like jumping is so easy. And that's how we are in life. Sometimes we're spiritually going through life and we have weights. We're weighted down. And when Jesus takes the weight off of us, we feel so free. It's an experience that you don't want to go back. Freedom. God wants freedom to reign in our life. Do you believe that? He does. He does. And so when we face our giants, we recognize that, you know, God wants us to experience freedom, total freedom. I'd like to read from 2 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 6. I'll read out of the NIV. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 1. This is written to the church. Remember that. This is written to the church at Corinth. Paul says, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of the world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. There's a small part of the Bible, but it's powerful. And so let's just pray and ask God to open it up to us. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for the living bread that you've placed before us. And I just ask that you, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, open up your word to us now. Use me as your instrument. Be exalted, O Lord, in all that takes place here. I just pray that people would let down the baggage they brought and all the distractions and focus on what you have for each one of us now. Jesus, be the center. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at the battles that we face, the first thing I want to look at is how do we win the battle for our mind? How do we become winners? There's battles. How do we become winners? Well, the first thing is we have to have a confident approach. So in your bulletin, there's different things that you can fill in. Number one, a confident approach. You see, it is people's pride that caused them to think they can get along in life without God. It's pride. Pride. Pride affects everyone. It's people's pride that caused them to think they can get along in life without God. That pride. The Bible says in verses 1 and 2 of our text, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. Paul was timid, but when he needed to be bold, he was very confident. Very confident. Our confidence is in Jesus, Jesus alone, not ourselves. The Bible says that by ourselves we're like filthy rags. But we need to put on the garment of Jesus, the garment of righteousness. We need to clothe ourselves with godly clothing. And when we do that, other people take note that we've hung out with Jesus. They know that. You can tell. There's a sparkle. If you have children, can you tell if there's a sparkle in their life? You know that, don't you? From small going up, you can just see that sparkle. And that's because the joy is there. They're excited about life. And when Jesus is at the center of our life, there's that joy, that overflowing sparkle. The light of Christ is evidence in our eyes and our countenance. Anything that has been learned can be unlearned. Do you believe that God is all-powerful? The answer is yes. Is this power available to each one of us? Yes. Will this make a difference in our lives to know that His power is available to each one of us? Of course. It'll change how we live, how we talk, how we communicate. It'll change those days when we have a bad attitude. They come, right? Those bad attitude days. And you won't have to kick your dog or cat anymore. You can settle that with the Lord and say, okay, I'm having a bad attitude. I need your help. I need your help. God just loves when we ask Him for help, because He knows then we're dependent upon Him and we aren't trying to live our life on our own strength. God has designed each one of us. He's given us the blueprint, the manual, how to live life to the fullest. But we have to obey it. We can't just look at it and say, oh, no, I don't want that today. We need to trust God. Our life is meant to be a faith journey of receiving all that God has for us. One of God's names is the God who is more than enough. More than enough. And God wants to be more than enough for each one of us. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's the God of more than enough. The covenant approach. There's different scriptures here. I'll skip over some, but you can copy them down. I want to look at Romans chapter 13, verse 12. Romans 13, verse 12. Here's what the Bible says. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Light. Where there's light, there's no darkness. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The light. When you go into a situation and you have the light of Jesus, it'll change the whole situation. Because people will know. God wants us to bring Jesus with us wherever we go. When we're driving, when we're going to the grocery store, when we're talking to our children, even when they've done something that they shouldn't have done, He wants us to bring the light of Jesus into that situation so that there's a lot of grace and mercy and love instead of giving them shame and condemnation. Behind all our strongholds is human pride, and that's basically independence against God. The basic trouble with the world is the human heart. So, because we're dealing with pride, We must claim the authority of the name and power of the blood of Jesus Christ and renounce Satan's right to any place in our soul and life. Listen carefully. Satan can only occupy that which we surrender to his influence. He won't just come and take over unless we give him permission. We invite him. And you're saying, how do I do that? Well, it doesn't take long to just ask some questions. You know, how have we been spending our time lately? You know, is a Bible gathering dust? I'm not here to condemn anybody because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But I'm here to open our eyes to what's going on around us. God wants us, if Jesus is our Savior, if he's our Savior, he wants us to act like it instead of just say it with our mouth. He wants to be Savior in our heart. And when he's Savior in our heart, that changes our perspective on life. Then we look at life recognizing that Jesus is our Savior and he's part of our heart. And the Bible already says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's why we need Jesus controlling our heart. That's why we need him. The Bible has answers for everything. It does. Yes, you're probably thinking, well, what about those gray areas? Well, then we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes clear those areas that we aren't sure about. He gives us clarity. We must develop. Let's look at the second part. Your battle for freedom is within your mind. Your thinking must be transformed. It must be transformed. The one choice that will change your life is to decide daily to hang out with Jesus, to enjoy his presence, to receive his love. Just receive his love. Soak in his love. To cry out to him in prayer, to worship him and saturate our minds with his word, the truth. We must develop an awareness of God's presence as we go through life. In fact, I was reading this morning, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. I don't have it up there, but I want to read it. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. Here's what the Bible says. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. Why is that in there? Why does it say, search your heart and examine your mind? Because, I'll give you a clue, because probably there's some clutter. Okay? Clutter. And so he knows what's going on there. And then it says, to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. That's Jeremiah 17, verse 10. Thoughts have potential to go from the mind to the heart, and then we're in trouble. If that happens, if it's not good thoughts. What happens when we begin depending upon God in prayer? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, I'll look at some of this here. Philippians 4, verse 7, here's what the Bible says. Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Did you get that? I'm going to repeat it. I'm just reading what God's word says. And the peace of God which transcends all understanding, we can't even describe it, but you know when you've got it, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How are we able to be at peace with God? We've been commissioned with a ministry of reconciliation. And that means we've been basically ordered by God, forgive, make things right, don't go to bed angry, think before you speak. If those words are words of shame or condemnation or words of, oh, I can't wait to get back with him, you know, the revenge. The Bible says, don't take revenge. I'll deal with it. God said, it's up to me. I'll take care of it. Not you. Four words, being in God's presence. The ultimate goal God has for us is not power, but personal intimacy. You can fill it in, your bulletin, intimacy with Him. Are you growing more in love with Jesus? Some of you know Beth Moore, right? Beth Moore, I'm going to quote. This is what Beth Moore said. We must remember that God is far more interested in our relationship with the deliverer than our being delivered. That sounds like being in God's presence is more important than doing His work. Because when we're in His presence, then we know what He wants us to do. We got to start with being in His presence. Interested in our relationship with the deliverer. The reason you and I conform to the pattern of this world is because of wrong thinking. We have not taken our thoughts captive because we have allowed Satan to tell us what to think. We have allowed him to tell us what matters, what's important, what's of value, what's okay to do. We must take our marching orders from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we encounter the living God, I'm trying to make this as simple as possible so you understand. When we encounter the living God, then it's by listening and speaking, hearing God's voice and responding, that interaction. And when we do that, then we have the power of God within us and we're released to do His work. We must, as simple as I can say, we must hang out with God, whatever that means for you. You know, you're never too old or too young not to hang out with God. We all need it. It strengthens the body. What would happen? I haven't been on my notes for a while. I got to get back. But what would happen if, as a body, we would decide for the next month to purpose in our heart to hang out with God and listen to His voice and do what He wants us to do? What would happen to the body here at Living Hope? I think there would be a fire that would come down. I think God would be, you know, people would want to get in the doors and say, what is going on at Living Hope? We've heard through the grapevine, what is going on? We want what you have. That's what God wants. God wants us to be so excited about Him that we can't contain ourselves. And we're talking to the person at the gas station or the convenience store or the grocery store or the workplace, and people are, and our children are saying, what happened to you? It's all right if that happens, because we are interested, more than interested in God, we are passionately pursuing Him. How you believe is determined by what is controlling your mind. What your mind is fed will determine how you will act. It's the joy of the Lord that defeats depression. It's living a life of faith that destroys unbelief. It is receiving the Father's love that casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. That love that we all are designed to receive, we need that. There's no turning back. We desperately need that. Well, let's look at our second way we win the battle for our mind. It's our choice of weapons. We must choose the right weapons. Our choices. It says the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. There's a lot of scripture here we're going to look at. I'm going to just copy it down. I'm going to look at some of them. But I want you to copy it down if you're taking notes. Colossians 3:16. Here's what the Bible says. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. That means hang out. Just simmer. Just kind of rest on you. Let the word of God dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then I already addressed Ephesians 6. You can look at that. That's the armor of God that we need. And we looked at the helmet of salvation. And Colossians 3, 1 through 4. I want to look at that. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts. Now we talked about the mind and the heart. set your hearts on things above. My wife had this saying that I didn't like her to tell me. Would make a difference 100 years from now. I never wanted to hear that. Just didn't want to hear that at all. But she would say it. And it was right. Because it wouldn't make a difference 100 years from now. Because we were looking at the perspective of life from eternity. Looking at things above. We're commanded to set our hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Hey, if you don't like it, you got to argue with God, not me. I'm just reading the book. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Choice of weapons. Last one, Joshua 1, verse 8. There's some more scriptures there. I want to read Joshua 1, 8. Here's what Joshua says. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He was just ready to take over leadership from Moses. And God said in verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, and then you will be prosperous and successful, meditating on the word. So, a noise wakes you up at 3 in the morning? Don't complain. Meditate on the word. Look at a scripture and say, wow, that's powerful. It's all quiet here. Not much is going on. And then go back to sleep. The word. The word. God has a purpose for the word in our life. The word will give us the strength that we need. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That's Jesus being with God in the very beginning. The word. And then the word became flesh. Jesus showed himself to others. Satan's approach is to drop a thought into our minds. He will tell you that you can't forgive yourself. He wants to keep us in bondage, and God does not give us that false guilt. God gives us true guilt for our sins that we need to repent of. And then he erases. He's got a giant eraser. He erases that. That's gone. What shouldn't bother us does, that false guilt and shame. And so we desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit to forgive ourselves totally. Forgive ourselves totally. I know I'm hitting on some areas of your life that you're saying, why are you talking about that now? But I'm just, we want to move on. I think it's all of our desire to get closer to Jesus. And we've got to get rid of some clutter. Life is full of clutter. I know all about that. He wants us to accept it, forgiving ourselves, act on it, and then we can move on. If we don't, then a stronghold can be built up. And a stronghold is anything that threatens our spiritual progress. You see, what happens is thoughts can hold you like a vice and keep you from the truth. Thoughts. Our method of thinking, our thoughts, it can be like a vice. Keep you from the truth. And many are held captive by thoughts such as, you're no good. You'll never make it to heaven. You'll never get well. You'll never amount to anything. You've messed up so much. What's the use of even trying? You know those thoughts. That's false guilt. Other strongholds are envy, lust, food, anger, inferiority, fear, unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, depression, anxiety, pride, greed, drugs, alcohol, unbelief. And if you can't identify with any of those, then I'm sure there's some others. It's the devil wants you to suffer. It's the devil wants to rob you of your joy and peace and your family and your relationships and your church. So by constantly dwelling on God's word and meditating on his truth, we bring our mind into submission into God's will. This is really important. God's word is God's will. That's why I wrote it. That's his will. That's why he gave it to us. And he wants... There's a reason why Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The word is our fresh manna that we need every day. Have you ever taken a bite into bread and it was so stale you thought it was going to chip one of your teeth? You know, I mean, really hard stuff. And I was at a restaurant one time, I kid you not, and my boss was there with me years ago. And we wanted some bread, and the waitress said, are you sure? Because if you throw it down, it'll bounce up. I said, no, thank you. We didn't get it. But it was basically as hard as rock, and you really don't want that stuff. So anyway, we didn't. God's word is God's will. When we renew our mind to the point where doubt has no more room, the power of faith can be released. The power of faith. That's a powerful statement, the power of faith. God wants to release the power of faith in our lives every day. In fact, Jesus said, never in my life have I seen a man of such faith. He believed. God wants us to believe, only believe. Only believe. Our four main weapons against strongholds are, there's four things, you can fill them in. There's truth, love, righteousness, and prayer. Let me talk about each of those real quick. Truth. Truth is refreshing our minds instead of, you probably don't want to hear this word, instead of drifting. If you're in a boat and you're drifting, it's no fun. You're just going with the waves, just drifting wherever. A lot of people are doing that in life. They're just drifting all over the place. We need to be refreshed by God's presence. Stay close to Him. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Love. Love is treating people with courtesy and accepting people who also struggle with some of the giants that we had earlier. Love. Righteousness. Righteousness, we must choose to forgive. It's our choice. Jesus said, forgive and you will be forgiven. Forgive. It's choosing to live lives of integrity. When I was guidance counselor in high school, the future employers would tell me, all we need is someone who is teachable, they show up on time, and they're a person of integrity. That's it. I hear it even today out in the business world. I just heard it within the last month. Someone told me, they said, oh, do you know anybody who has integrity that will do a good day's work? Give me their name and I'll call them. They're ready. They're waiting. Jesus wants us to be a light. He wants us to understand that our righteousness is filthy rags, but we have the righteousness of Christ. Put on the garment of righteousness. Choose to forgive. Be people of integrity. And prayer, God has not left us alone to stumble on our own way. We have a mighty God who wants us to check in with Him often. And that often is, you just ask God how often it is, and He'll let you know how often. John 8:32, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free. John 8:32. So, a prayerless life is a powerless life. Praying scriptures is powerful. Because you're praying the truth. The church praying together. Think of that. The church gathering, praying together. If you believe God's word, it's all about trusting Jesus and acting upon His word in faith. Here are some examples. And my wife thought I should have printed these out and given each of you a copy, but you can... get the book. 20 Cans of Success. The book is Victory Over Darkness, Neil Anderson. I'm just going to read some, and I want you to see it as we're reading it. Why? Now, just think about how this affects our life, because we're just receiving the truth and answering the question, and this affects all of us. Why should I say I can't when the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength? And the reference is there. So if you're taking notes, you can copy down the scripture. Why should I fear when the Bible says God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind? Fear affects a lot of people. Why should I lack faith to fulfill my calling, knowing that God has allotted to me a measure of faith? I'm just referring to the Word. That's what this is. Why should I be weak when the Bible says that the Lord is the strength of my life and that I will display strength and take action because I know God? Why should I allow Satan's supremacy over my life when he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world? See, we're on the winning team. We have to take that from our mind to our heart. We are on the winning team. Sometimes it gets stuck in our mind and we don't allow it to get to our heart. We need to take these truths to our heart and live it out. Why should I accept defeat when the Bible says that God always leads me in triumph? Why should I be depressed when I can recall to mind God's loving kindness, compassion, faithfulness, and have hope? Why should I worry and fret when I can cast all my anxiety on Christ who cares for me? Why should I ever be in bondage knowing that there is liberty where the Spirit of the Lord is? Why should I feel condemned because the Bible says I am not condemned because I am in Christ? Why should I feel alone when Jesus said he is with me always and he will never leave me nor forsake me? Why should I feel worthless when Christ became sin on my behalf that I might become the righteousness of God in him? Why should I be confused when God is the author of peace and he gives me knowledge through his indwelling Spirit? And why should I feel like a failure when I am a conqueror in all things through Christ? In fact, the Bible says more than conquerors. Why should I let the pressures of life bother me when I can take courage knowing that Jesus has overcome the world and its tribulations? But the last thing we need in order to win the battle for our mind is we must capture our thoughts. Capture our thoughts. The Bible says in our text, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You see, Satan knows that if he can control your thoughts, he can control your life. So the battle for spiritual freedom is within our mind. That's the battle. So we really need to soak our mind with God's truth until it saturates the way you think. I think of like a sponge, just so full of water that it oozes out. We're saturated with God. Some of you might be saying to yourself, well, I just want a little bit of God. That's all I need for today. I don't know about you, but I want all of him. I want everything that he's got for me for each day. And sometimes we look back and we say, well, Lord, I call that debriefing section. We debrief with God for the day. Well, I really could have used more of you today. But I know I didn't ask for it, so I deserve everything. But God's there with so much love and compassion that he's there saying, it's all right. I'll be with you through the night, and I'll be there tomorrow morning when you check in. I want you to have a great day and a good night's rest. And sometimes he says, if I wake you up in the middle of the night, just it's all right to check in with me, to let me know what's on your mind. Because God knows everything that we're thinking anyway, but we need to share it with him and process with him. We can talk to God like you're talking to your best friend. And he's always got a listening ear. And so part of the soaking and saturating our the way we think is checking in with him and allowing him to speak to us and then listen to his voice. Don't give God a time limit. Okay, Lord, you have 15 minutes. You better share quick. 15 minutes, that's all you got, you know. And then you go watch the football game or hear that ding, 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 emails or whatever, you know. I think I've said this before. It might be good to just turn that electronic device off when you check in with God. I know those are fighting words, but we want to win the battle, the real battle, okay? So, might be all right to turn that off for a half an hour or so you aren't distracted. In Psalm 19:14, here's what the Bible says. The Bible is full of life. Psalm 19:14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. God has redeemed us from the pit of despair. He's pulled us out. Some of us want to go back and jump in the pit. That's not a good choice. God has pulled us out. And since he's pulled us out, he's given us a glimpse of his glory and all that he has for us. So there's no reason to be fearful of what's ahead, because God is walking beside us. And he's got a hold of us. And he wants us to just trust him. Trust. I know that's hard. You're saying that's so hard to do. But he just wants us to trust him with our life. In 2 Corinthians 2:14 and 15, the Bible puts it like this. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 and 15. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. The aroma of Christ. If you had a potent perfume and you'd spray it, the front row would probably smell it first. Eventually, you'd smell it all over the place. That sweet aroma. God wants us to be that sweet aroma. Now please be patient. God is not finished with any of us yet. And we want to say together, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. But as we're on the road of life, God sometimes takes us on detours. So we have to trust him. Trust him, because he knows what's best. Some of you know this, but some of you don't. We moved 3,000 miles from the state of Oregon to Pennsylvania when our children were babies and small, and didn't know a single person. Didn't know a single person where we arrived. It was a faith journey. But I knew, my wife knew, that God was directing us. And we had no idea what was going to happen after. It's just amazing when you look back. And our life has not been easy, but we've experienced the joy of the Lord in abundance. But we've had our days that we wondered, Lord, are you still there? So we're human. If you poke me, I'll bleed. But anyway, I'm just trying to let you know that yes, life is difficult, but we have a God who delights in the impossible, because he's God. And he's more than enough for all of us. I'd just like to close with, yes, we are in a battle. We're in a battle for our mind. I'd just like you to, I'm going to ask some questions. If you'd just close your eyes and bow your head before I close in prayer. And I think this is how we're going to handle it this morning. Close your eyes, bow your head. And throughout the questions and as I'm talking here before we close in prayer, if you're saying, that's me. Are you ready to take a step closer to Jesus today? That's me. You know, I want to experience freedom today. Just raise your hand up and down. Take note. Do you desire spiritual freedom today? Just up and down. I see them. Are you ready to get intimate with Jesus today? Intimate. Are there areas of your life that are strongholds where the devil has taken over and you desire freedom in those areas? That's me. I see the hands. You're tired of trying to fix your own situation. You want freedom to reign as God takes over in your life, and you're willing to take that step. That's you this morning. I see that. Thank you, Lord. Fear has taken over in your life, but you desire to be saturated with God's love because perfect love casts out fear. That's you this morning. Yes. God wants you to experience freedom today. I'd like to close with a prayer, and as I pray this prayer, if that's you, just you could follow along with me. Just repeat silently, you know, as we go through this, but we want to acknowledge that we are in this together. So let's pray. Dear Father, we honor you as our sovereign Lord. We acknowledge that you are always present with us. You, Lord, are the only all-powerful and wise God. You are kind and loving in all your ways, and we love you and thank you that we are united with Christ and spiritually alive in him. We choose not to love the world, and so we crucify the flesh and all its passions. Thank you, Lord, for the life that we now have in Christ, and we ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may live life free from sin. We declare our dependence upon you today, Lord, and we take our stand against Satan and all his unlying ways. And we choose to believe the truth and refuse to be discouraged because you are the God of all hope. And so we are confident that you will meet our needs as we seek to live according to your word. We express with confidence that we can live a responsible life through Christ who strengthens each one of us. And so we take our stand against Satan and command him and all his evil spirits to depart from us. We put on the whole armor of Christ, one of which is the helmet of salvation to guard our mind and heart. And we submit our body as a living sacrifice and renew our mind by the living word of God in order that we may prove that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. Thank you, Lord, for these people who have responded. And just be with them this evening and this coming week. And I just pray that they would be bold and courageous and they would continue to listen to your voice and allow your Holy Spirit to direct. And we just proclaim that this is a place of freedom. Freedom. Oh, Lord, I just pray that for everyone that raised their hands, they would experience freedom like they've never known. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you are dismissed, but I would invite any of you who would like special prayer about anything that was shared to come forward. And may God bless you as you live in freedom.